what I have in mind is for the next 4 weeks is to kind of go through some of the basic instructions around loving kindness meditation, more or less taking one day for four of the major categories that are practiced within loving kindness meditation. And so the first day we'll do loving kindness towards oneself. That's always considered to be the foundation of loving kindness practice. And then next time we'll do loving kindness towards friends and benefactors. And then we'll do loving kindness towards neutral people. And the last day we'll do loving kindness towards difficult people. And just we'll end there because this is supposed to be 4 weeks. We could go on to other categories that we can continue. And actually my aspiration, my hope, is just to continue offering a loving kindness meditation every Thursday at 5:30. So anybody who feels like it can drop in and have this wonderful little practice with a group and that's guided, and it'll be suitable for anybody to come to drop in. Last time I did this introductory course, I did it over a longer period of time, maybe 5 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, but it was for an hour and a half rather than an hour. But I'm trying to do it at four. We started at five. But starting at 5:30 was to allow for more people to come from after work. But we only have an hour. We won't do as many things as we did last time. One of the things we did last time was we actually spent a lot more time having discussion. And I thought it was very valuable to have discussion and share on this topic because there's a lot of shared wisdom in a group like this, shared understanding about such topics as friendliness and love and loving kindness. And rather than me just kind of speak about it, it was nice to hear the collective wisdom. So we did that a lot. We kind of had a lot of sharing and discussion like that. But since we only have an hour these times, we'll probably do a lot less of that. And I'll just give some basic teachings, and then I'll lead you in a guided meditation on loving kindness. And then perhaps there'll be some time for a little bit more talking or teaching or some discussion at the end. And I guess the other kind of logistical thing is that then there is the way this is being taught is like with all our teachings here is that it's done on a donation basis, and whatever donation you'd like to make, there's that dana basket for these kind of events in the afternoon. We keep it inside, next to the door. There, you'll see it as you go out. So whatever you'd like to do about that, it's your choice. But that's it's there for a donation. So that's kind of logistically, kind of not much, but do you have any questions about that? Anything that I'm leaving out that needs to be talked about?
Will there still be a meeting from 7 to 8:30?
Not today, because of the Quakers need the room tonight. But otherwise, we'll pick up where we left off next week for the 7 o'clock class. So when I first started practicing Vipassana, I thought one of the secrets of the practice was the joy of loving kindness practice, of loving kindness, the feeling of loving kindness, of love and warmth and joy. And I thought it was a secret because in Southeast Asia where I practiced, when they taught mindfulness practice, they taught it only that. And you weren't supposed to do anything else. You weren't supposed to kind of think about anything else. You weren't supposed to, do any other kind of practices. It was a very kind of purist approach. And I had been a Zen student before I did Vipassana. So in Zen, they never talk about loving-kindness meditation. So then I went to Southeast Asia in this kind of purist Vipassana monasteries where the teacher sometimes taught people loving-kindness practice occasionally, but mostly he didn't, and he certainly didn't teach me. So I just did this very kind of singular mindfulness practice. But in doing this, the mindfulness practice, at some point, all this joy and feelings of love arose in me. And I remember when the experience of impermanence was very, very strong in my meditation practice, the experience of very strong concentrated experience of impermanence will often bring a lot of joy and rapture in meditation practice. And if the concentration gets even stronger, the mindfulness gets even stronger, then not only do you see impermanence, but you see very clearly the passing away of phenomena. You see the arising, but also very clearly the passing away. And so I bring my attention on my experience, bring my presence to my experience. And as soon as I did that, it would evaporate. But when my loving kindness or this joy I felt was very strong in my sitting, it was as if I would bring my loving kindness and envelop it in the experience, and my loving kindness would dissolve it. Everything would dissolve in this kind of pool of love. And I just spent days just in meditation, just kind of going around, just kind of, and whatever arose in my experience, a sound or a smell or a sensation in the body or a thought or whatever, I would just kind of turn and send all this loving kindness, and it would just evaporate. It would pass away. And it was just a delight. But I remember telling a friend of mine who was there about this, and then I said, you know, I can't tell my teacher this. thinking that, you know, he would think I was just kind of playing around, goofing around on my meditation cushion, and that all this joy and all this rapture and all this loving kindness I was having, that was, you know, not really supposed to be, you know, I was supposed to be dedicated like a Zen student, just kind of straight for the heart of the matter, and none of this flowery stuff, romantic stuff or whatever. So I didn't say anything to my teacher, and then I practiced in Southeast Asia first, and then I came back to America, and then I practiced Vipassana here in America for a while, and I went to Barry for a 3-month course. And at some point, not early on, but some point after a month or so in the 3-month course, lo and behold, the teachers there started doing this loving kindness meditation, where teachers would guide the students in this way I'm going to guide you in a few minutes. And I couldn't believe it. You know, what do you mean? What are you doing talking during my meditation? You know, I'd been a Zen student. You simply didn't, you know, talk in the meditation hall when you sit Zen. And then not only that, but they're asking me to kind of evoke these kind of feelings of love and kindness. And I thought that was pretty artificial, and I couldn't relate to it at all. And so I just tuned the teachers out when I did it. And sometimes when I teach loving kindness, like on retreats now, I tell people, you know, that I tuned the teacher. I originally tuned my teachers out, and if you don't like it, just tune me out. However, here, we are all here because you want to do it. So it's a little bit different audience. So I started doing this meditation at Barry, and I would just tune the teachers out. But then after some point in that retreat, this same thing started happening with all this natural loving kindness started arising, all this love and warmth and tenderness of the heart towards myself and towards my situation. And when it arose naturally out of the mindfulness practice, then when they started doing the guided loving kindness meditation, I could relate to it. So, aha, that's what they're talking about. And then it was accessible. And as soon as it was accessible, then when they did the guided meditation, I could just call on that. And it was no longer artificial. And very quickly I came to love loving kindness meditation. It's going to be a real delight to do that. And I realized at some point it was no longer a secret that only I knew about it. I couldn't tell anyone, but it was actually a common part of many people's meditation practice and experience. And I think that loving kindness, I believe very strongly, that experiences of loving kindness and also experiences of joy, not that they're synonymous, at some point will arise naturally in the context of mindfulness practice. Because one of the things that mindfulness practice is bringing very careful awareness to your experience. And that careful awareness is, in a sense, a way of leaving yourself alone. And if we leave ourselves alone, being very aware and conscious of what's happening while we leave ourselves alone, a whole bunch of our normal structures, the way we think about ourselves, the way we judge ourselves, the way we judge people around us, the way we criticize things, the way we hold on to an identity, and the way we hold on to our fears and concerns and anxieties, they'll naturally begin to settle down for a while, at least temporarily. And if all those concerns settle away a little bit, then it's almost as if that the natural goodness or lovingness of the heart is covered by all those things. So if you leave yourself alone and let those things relax, then that natural goodness or lovingness of the heart will shine by itself. And I say it's almost as if, because if I said it was that way, then I'd be making a metaphysical claim, which I don't know if I can make. But it's almost as if that's the case. Maybe it is the case, but I don't know if it really is. But I think that's part of how I understand mindfulness practice, that loving kindness will naturally arise. However, we don't just leave it to chance. You can leave it to chance if you wish, or just the natural course of your practice. But we also have this intentional practice we do that calls on this capacity we have to open up our heart. It's kind of a soft, warm tenderness of the heart that is a source of loving kindness practice. I like to point out that maybe I said this Monday night recently, I don't know, but we say in English mindfulness for the awareness practice that we do. And it comes from the Pali word sati. But the word sati has nothing about the mind in it. But when the Chinese were going to translate Indian Buddhist words into Chinese characters, the character they used to write mindfulness was the character, there was a character that was made up of two halves. And the top half is the character for the present. And the bottom half is the character for the heart. So mindfulness is the heart of the present moment. And I kind of like that, since in the West we put so much focus on the mind, so we say mindfulness. But, maybe it could be the heartfulness of the present. Or mindfulness is a kind of heartfulness also. So, but we don't just leave it to chance. We have this practice that we can do. And for some people, the practice comes quite easily, that just simply using the phrases, the resolves that express the intention of loving kindness somehow stimulates or catalyzes those feelings of loving kindness within us. And then people will focus on those feelings and allow them to expand throughout the body and throughout space and everywhere. And it can be quite blissful and quite nice. Some people have a hard time connecting to the feeling or the sense or the emotion of loving kindness. And if you have a hard time with that, that's okay. Because the basic practice of loving kindness is not a meditation on feeling, but it's really a meditation on intention. And one of the most precious things we have as human beings is our intention. And if anything qualifies as a self in Buddhism is not supposed to have a self, it's probably our intention. Because that's where we have the most choice about what kind of intention we have and understanding it. But loving kindness practice is, at its heart, I think, a working with our intentions to wish, have feelings of goodwill, expressions of goodwill, of wishing happiness to ourselves and others. And opening to that intention, allowing that intention to become really our own intention, regardless of whether you have the feelings or not, of loving kindness. And that intention will bear fruit. You'll develop concentration, you'll develop stability, and you'll develop a different environment, a different perspective for understanding your life. So many of us in the West, I think we've said this plenty of times, are so self-critical, hypercritical is almost a better expression, hypercritical of ourselves and also of our world around us, and a lot of anger, a lot of animosity, both internally and externally, a lot of fear, a lot of difficult emotions. The seeds of these intentional loving kindness creates an alternative that can be very, very helpful for people, for showing us another way of being with ourselves and being in our world. Mindfulness practice is in part, in a sense, kind of a passive practice, in the sense that it's mostly just receptively being aware of what's happening in the present. Whereas the active expression or the active involvement in relationship with the world and with ourselves is understood in Buddhism, in Theravada Buddhism, to arise out of loving-kindness meditation or feeling of loving-kindness. If you want guidelines about how to live your life, the actual choices you make, you don't necessarily get it directly from mindfulness practice, but you can get a little bit from understanding loving-kindness, understanding how to apply it to our life, understanding its role in our life, and calling upon it in appropriate times rather than just leaving it to chance. So loving kindness practice is kind of softening, is offering this intention of wishing yourself to be happy, wishing yourself to be free of suffering, wishing yourself to be safe, wishing yourself to be joyful and full of happiness, to be at peace. And ideally, that intention would arise out of a tenderness of the heart. And so sometimes when we do this meditation, we focus on the area of the heart, and see if we can allow those intentions to arise from there. And in doing that, and in saying those phrases, there is a kind of, tends to be at some point, kind of a softening of the heart. maybe it's metaphoric, this sense, but there's kind of a softening of the heart that happens. But what's interesting, because many of us, to continue the metaphor, many of us, the heart is kind of encrusted with our anxieties and fears and aversions and sorrows and many, many different things, our defense, our defensiveness. And if we can soften the heart a little bit, say we soften it enough to let go of our defensiveness, we start seeing what's under the heart, deeper down inside. And sometimes, and our heart is actually made up of many different things. It isn't just wonderful feelings of loving kindness and love. It's a heart's made up of all the full range of many emotions. So if you begin softening the outer crust of the heart and allowing what's under there to kind of show itself, sometimes what you'll see is things that are unpleasant. You'll see things like anger or despair or fear or things like that. And then it's quite common for people to come to the meditation teacher and say, well, it's not working because I'm doing loving kindness, but I'm just enraged with my neighbor. You know, it's hopeless, you know. But actually, it is working. Because what's happening is you've softened enough to feel the rage. It's probably already there. But normally it's covered. And it's a lot better to be aware of your rage than it is to be not aware of it and close it up again and have it bottled up. So sometimes the effect of loving kindness is the opposite, whatever that is, will arise in people. And just accept that. That's okay. And then you can either continue doing loving kindness practice, do loving kindness practice towards your rage or your anger or whatever, or you can stop meditating and go for a walk, or you could switch and do mindfulness practice, which some of you I know all about. And then you do mindfulness practice on those feelings and emotions. So you have some choice. Loving kindness practice is particularly recommended for people who have a very hard time doing mindfulness practice. Because sometimes mindfulness is a self-awareness practice, among other things. And for many people to become so self-aware is to become aware of a lot of internal difficulties. And in the degree in which many of us are self-critical, we confuse self-consciousness with awareness. And so we become more aware of some of our inner tendencies, some of our inner thoughts and feelings. And if we have a habit of being self-critical, that habit will then latch itself on the new information. And we'll use the new information of what we're discovering to be increasingly self-critical. So you should know that's a tendency. So try not to do it. But some people have such a hard time with mindfulness, for whatever reason, that they're taught loving-kindness practice instead. And loving-kindness practice, in that case, can help you to stay a little bit away from the difficult emotions, help you feel a bit better about yourself by directing loving-kindness to yourself, and help create a little more stability and calmness in your life and in your mind. And then at some point, then, maybe having enough stability maybe to go and do some mindfulness practice. So there's many reasons to do loving-kindness practice. I don't think you can ever... It's hardly ever wrong to do it or a mistake to do it. I want to teach it regularly here in Palo Alto because I think it's very, very important practice. And I think many of us are really well served either by making it our only practice for a while or complementing our mindfulness practice with this meditation practice here. So any questions about that introduction? So let's do it. So why don't you all take a comfortable posture, that way you can sit alert, but with some sense of ease. And if you find yourself getting uncomfortable while you do loving-kindness practice, you can very quietly and slowly adjust yourself, because it's important to stay somewhat comfortable for loving-kindness practice. And then close your eyes. And take a few deep breaths to arrive here, using the exhalation to settle into the body, to settle into your chair. And then breathe normally. And take a moment just to look through your body and see if there's any large holding in the muscles that might be easy to relax. So sometimes it's possible to relax the stomach. So the stomach becomes soft. And sometimes it's possible to relax the shoulders. And the face. The jaw. And soften the eyes, allowing the eyes to rest in the sockets. And sometimes it's possible to relax the forehead. And then allow your attention, your awareness, to connect with your breathing. And for the next few cycles, be aware of your breath. Allowing the breath and the awareness to connect with each other equally for the in-breath and the out-breath. Letting go of any thoughts or concerns you have. Simply allowing the breath to be at the middle, at the center of your awareness. And then to help you connect with your breath and to arrive and settle here, maybe after a busy day, as you breathe out, silently to yourself, Breathe out with a little sigh. A little sigh of settling in, relaxing. And now let go of your breath and paying attention to your breathing. And now bring to mind some memory, whether it's in recent days or distant days, of a time when you felt particularly happy, particularly joyful. Spending a few moments going through your memories to find a joyful and happy time, event. That still has maybe a little bit of clarity to it. And remembering this event, this time when you were happy, can you visualize, perhaps in your mind's eye, the place where that happened? The room or the place where you felt the way you felt? Can you remember or visualize the people who might have been there? Perhaps you remember the smells of the place, or the colors, or the time of day. The lighting. And in remembering this event, can you also remember how you felt in your body when you felt this happiness or this joy? Can you remember how you felt your energy was like? What your body felt like. And now let go of the memory, but only the memory, and see if you can linger for a while with a feeling in your body. The feeling or the memory of what the joy and the happiness felt like in the body. And then bring your awareness down around the area of your heart. and feel whatever sensations happen to be in your heart area. And even if it's subtle or you feel nothing, let your awareness rest there in your heart. And perhaps you can allow your breath, or imagine your breath moves in and out through the center of the chest, through the heart. And then loving kindness practice is done by quietly, silently saying to yourself phrases of loving kindness that express the intention. And I will say out loud some of these phrases, and then you can silently repeat them to yourself. Allowing your breath, allowing your center of attention to be in the realm of your heart, center of your chest. Allowing yourself to sink into the intention of the phrases. May I be happy. May I be filled with joy. May I be free from anxiety. May I be free from worry. May I be filled with delight. May I be at ease. May I be at peace. As you sit here, you think about something that's difficult in your life right now, today or right now. It could be a physical sensation in the body of discomfort, or a feeling of resistance, or anything that... And take this one part of yourself that is a difficult part of yourself. Maybe a part of yourself that makes it difficult for you to feel loving kindness at times. And then express some loving kindness to that part, allowing it to be there. May this part of me be happy. May this part of me be free from anxiety. May this part of me be at peace. May this part of me be filled with joy and delight. May my intention of goodwill touch this part of me. And then as you sit here, get a sense or a feeling or an awareness of your whole body, of this whole physical body that we sit in, the torso arising out of the chair or out of the floor. The head, the arms, the legs. See if you can get some general feeling of your whole body. And then see if you can hold your whole body or in an embrace of kindness. Or see if you can extend the phrases of loving kindness to your physical sense of being embodied. May this body be happy. May this body be filled with happiness. May this body be free from harm. May this body be filled with delight. May this body be free from worry. May it be at ease. And then we'll sit together now in silence for a few minutes. And if you'd like, you can continue directing loving kindness to either yourself or parts of yourself. Parts of your body, parts of your inner life, which you take delight in, or parts of your inner life or your body that are difficult for you. And you might say quietly these kinds of phrases. as a way of giving form to the intention of kindness. The Buddha once said that if you traveled throughout the world, you would find no one who is more deserving of loving kindness than yourself. And that in the eyes of each one of us, we are at least as deserving to receive our kindness towards ourselves as anyone else is. We can perhaps feel the preciousness and the delicacy of being a living human being. The preciousness and delicacy and the tenderness of being alive, of being aware, and having a heart. So it's somewhat, I think I've pointed this out many times, that it's somewhat unusual for us in the West to perhaps feel that we are so deserving of loving kindness as anybody else. There's a strong tendency in the West, I think, to be self-effacing, that somehow championing yourself in some is not considered to be appropriate, or looking and championing or feeling good about your own good qualities is not appropriate. You're not supposed to brag about yourself or whatever. And in Buddhism, of course, there's a teaching that you shouldn't be egotistical and arrogant and prideful about yourself. But at the same time, it's considered to be healthy and appropriate to rejoice and feel happy about your good qualities, about your humanness, about your tenderness of your heart, and whatever, just being a human being. And I think it's very hard for many of us to get a glimpse or feeling of that. Loving kindness practice, this kindness, is really the foundation for the emotional foundation, in a sense, for Theravada Buddhism, for Buddhism, for mindfulness practice. And not that it's supposed to be a should or something you have to have, but somehow the idea of loving kindness, of being friendly to yourself, being friendly to others, being friendly to your experience, is understood to be, if not something that you can evoke and use as a way of relating to the world, it's at least a reference point to understand when you are feeling something different. So, as I said, I think I read Monday night that when we don't feel loving kindness, when we feel anger or spite towards someone else, that can be a cue that you haven't given yourself a chance to be sensitive to the situation. And if you give yourself half a chance to slow down and be attentive and sensitive to the situation, To be sensitive, I think, is to begin to sense from the heart, or sense the feelings of the situation. And because loving kindness is such an important value in the mindfulness world, it becomes a standard by which not to beat ourselves up with, saying, oh, I'm not loving kindness, I'm not full of loving kindness, but maybe a standard by which to remind you, oh, maybe I need to slow down now. Maybe I need to pay attention and be a little more sensitive to what's going on. Loving kindness is scholars who study these things say that loving kindness was meditation existed before the Buddha. It's just an ancient Indian meditation practice that the Buddha adopted. So it's not even particularly Buddhist. And thinking about that, I think maybe it's just good sense. It's just kind of common sense. However, it's offered in Theravada Buddhism as a meditation practice, and it takes a while to get the hang of it for many people. But it can be, as a meditation practice, it's possible to develop this feeling or the sense of loving kindness to a very, very high pitch. You can get very, very concentrated on this one feeling. So your whole experience, your whole world, your whole sense of inner sense of self is permeated with this friendliness. And there are monks in Southeast Asia and Thailand who spent decades practicing loving kindness, and they become this field of loving kindness that people will go to pilgrimage to be around them and to go see them. They're famous all over Thailand for their loving kindness. And I think that's really great to have a culture where those people are kind of recognized as cultural heroes compared to what we have. So how was that, to do that little meditation?
Different, because you would say those words, and then when you stopped, I was trying to remember them, and I couldn't remember them. And then I would think, oh, I better go back to my breath. Uh-huh. And I think I would confuse the two meditations.
Yeah, yeah. It takes a while to get a hang of it. And you can make up your own phrases. Whatever seems to express the intention of being kind to yourself, or being kind or tender, or offering yourself happiness, wanting yourself to be happy. Whatever words express that are your own, you can make them up and just say them over and over again. Sometimes we use very traditional four verses that are used over and over again. And sometimes people just do, just make them up. And sometimes making them up makes it more personal. If it's more personal, then it's more heartfelt, and it's easier to get into it. Yes?
I mentioned briefly. I had a rather extraordinary experience yesterday where someone approached me totally out of the blue. This experience I must have been preparing for on a subconscious level, at a computer trade show, where someone approached me with positive feelings of loving kindness, and it definitely brought up a deep, deep-seated pattern in my past, and it was evident that I was beating myself up for a particular experience with this person about 6 months ago. It happened with a job interview, right? A very negative day for me, and I was really not real centered that day. And this person just came up to me during the show. I mean, I was looking at some brochures. Oh, how are you doing? Have you found a good job yet? Et cetera, for a couple of minutes. And something happened in my whole being. It's like, wow. And I started holding this experience of 6 months ago so deeply, like this real negative part of myself, and it just blew me out of the water.
Beautiful. It's a fantastic gift to come to someone with a little bit. It's just a little bit of friendliness. It's a fantastic gift. Thank you. Someone else, how was it? Yes?
When you gave us some instruction to control part of our body that was, in my case, it was uncomfortable discomfort, I wasn't feeling, my intention was to go there and to be friendly with it. And what happened was it turned warm. So from then on, I was able to send warmth to other parts of my body, and warmth felt like loving kindness. But it was really a sense of temperature of warmth.
Uh-huh. Wonderful, thank you. And it's possible that one way to do loving kindness practice to yourself is to do it to different parts of your body. And some people will do it systematically, like the body sweep that some of you might know about. You just kind of go systematically through your body and offer different parts loving kindness. Or you do all the different parts that... Some people mix mindfulness with loving kindness, where the mindfulness is just to be present for whatever is predominant that arises. And so whatever arises, that's where they send their loving kindness. May my knee be happy. May my breath be happy. May my thoughts be happy. You know. So whatever. So there's many ways of doing this, but you can actually do it. You can kind of do it to parts of yourself rather than to your whole sense of self. And some people find it very hard to do it to the whole selves, for whatever reason. But it's possible to do it to some parts of yourself. And for some people, most parts of themselves they can't even do it to, but they can find something about themselves or some part, physical part of themselves, for example, that it's easy to do it towards. And you do start there, and then once you get the hang of it, sometimes it begins moving out from there. And it can be it's quite fun actually to do different parts. But don't forget to do your whole self too. And then the whole body. And did anybody have a difficulty doing it? Yes. How so?
Well, I noticed a lot of pain. And I noticed a lot of resistance to telling myself those things.
Uh-huh. And do you know what kind of words were behind the resistance, or what kind of thoughts? So becoming aware of that is part of the function of mindfulness practice, and it's considered to be very valuable. So you didn't have a difficulty with the meditation, you just had difficulty with yourself. But so it was great. And so you can, I mean, it's not that it's easy or pleasant. And so you have the choice of, you could either continue with the practice. You know about mindfulness practice? Have you learned that? So you can switch over and do mindfulness with that. Or you can look around and see where is the most appropriate foothold for doing loving kindness that makes sense. So maybe it's just self-criticism. You do loving kindness through self-criticism, or maybe it's to that part of you that receives the self-criticism, because you're criticizing, it's directed usually. So you might feel actually in a part of your body, or you feel where the energy is tight or something, and maybe that which receives the self-criticism, you can kind of hold gently and offer loving kindness to. So you can kind of look around and see where you can begin. So that I'll read a quote that I thought, a poem that I thought speaks to that I thought was quite nice. But in saying that it was difficult now, do you feel it would be valuable to continue doing it? Or do you think it would be a valuable practice for you? Or you think it's too much? Or is it...
I don't think it's too much. I think it's difficult. And I think it's too much.
So I'll read this. Does it matter whether you hate yourself? At least love your eyes that can see, your mind that can hear the music, the thunder of the winds, love the wild swan. And what I like about this, for me, I read it this way almost. Does it matter whether you hate yourself? At least love the eyes that can see your self-hate. So in order to feel your self-criticism, in order to know yourself, you have self-criticism and you've seen it. And that part of you that can see it, maybe that's where you start, because that's a precious part of you. The time will come when, with elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, and whom you ignored for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit and feast on your life. Someone else. You have someone back there.
I didn't have difficulty, but I didn't follow what you said very well. But then I thought, well, I've, for at least the past 10 years, I've sort of been not following the instructions. So I'll just say that's okay.
Great.
I found it was very pleasant, really.
So you got you. So you, even without.
I can't say I did a very good job, I guess.
No one did, I think. that's not the point. So if you can't follow, sometimes when you can't follow the guided instructions for a number of possible reasons, you can have a sense of how to do it on your own then. And just do it on your own. Kind of make it up as you go along.
I also found that my mind jumped to other people very often. But that was quite nice. I mean, I started thinking about this person that I've been furious at for 25 years. And I was thinking, oh, he's got something.
You're just ahead of us. You're a week ahead of us.
Yeah, I figured I wasn't supposed to be doing it yet.
Were you suggesting that we should then try to do this for a practice now instead of normal mindfulness practice for a little while?
It's up to you how you want to use this. You could make that choice and just do this.
Is that your advice?
My advice is for you to decide what seems appropriate. Some of you might feel that it'd be really nice to experiment. Just do this for your daily sitting practice for the next four weeks or next week or whatever. Some people like to do it just at the beginning of a sitting, the first 10 minutes of a sitting. Some people will do it at the end of a sitting. Some people will just do it when they're sitting in their car or, you know, whatever. Maybe, if we talked for a while, maybe I would give you particular advice. But, you know, you just fit, you know. The spirit of love, somehow this, right now sitting here, the spirit of loving kindness practice is that just kind of feel it out for yourself what feels right. Yes?
I have been working hard and staying up late, and so I was very tired, and the minute, about the point, well, I started falling asleep. And often when I'm tired on Monday nights or early in the morning trying to meditate, I get really angry at myself, you know. And this time, right about the time I fell asleep was when you said the phrase, may this body be happy, and you said may this body be safe, and that really hit me, and I just sort of felt sorry for my poor body that's so tired. And then every time I fell asleep, and then eventually my head would fall and I'd wake up, and then I would take that as a cue to say may this body be happy. And that just really worked for me.
Beautiful. That's really nice. And I can empathize a lot because I beat myself up so much around sleepiness in my practice. Months and months of, day in and day out. Because I would do these long, long retreats, you know, like this long, it is like 8-month retreat that I've told you, some of you about. And I'd get up sometimes at 2:00 in the morning and just practice, you know, solid through the, you know, without any break until I would go to sleep. But every afternoon around 4:00, I start getting really sleepy. And I thought there was something terribly wrong with me. I was to blame, and I was getting sleepy, and this horrible sleepiness, and I couldn't practice, and I was, you know, a failure in my meditation practice. And every afternoon, I went through the soap opera. Until finally I realized, look, you got up at 2:00. You're supposed to be tired. And then it started to get easier. Anyway, thank you. Yes?
I found that when you were speaking the intentions that I I felt a lot of pain inside, and I cried all day. And then when it was just for me to do it alone, I was able to do it some, and then I also just sort of went away. I was thinking it would be nice to have a tape or something.
There are tapes you can buy from the Dharma Seed tape library on guided loving kindness meditation. And so you can do that. And if you liked what I did today, I mean, Allison here will be happy to make you a tape. But this was rather short also. But you know, this is close at hand. Dharma Seed tape library, you have to call, and it takes a few days. But yeah, it's going to be very useful to hear someone guiding you. It helps you stay present and helps concentrate you. And you don't want to get attached to always depending on an external voice, because that then becomes, at some point, it just becomes like another, what's the word I'm looking for? Another prop that we use rather than really becoming self-reliant and finding it for ourselves. But initially, it's great. And a lot of people listen to tapes, and it really helps them get into it, and then at some point they can let go of the tapes. Yeah?
I have trouble concentrating. My imagination is really vivid. I couldn't believe some of the stuff I was thinking about, a moldy backpack. I haven't thought about it for like 2 years. It's kind of shattered. You know, and I'd kind of be gone for a while.
Well, who knows why we have strange thoughts? I mean, sometimes it could be house cleaning, and you know, this thing about leaving ourselves alone in meditation, it works in such a way that some of the stuff that's been held unfinished for a long time, and it can be the most innocuous stuff, like some of that could just, who knows, it just arises as house cleaning, but if you get involved in it, that's not so good. But just come back and be kind to yourself, and come back whenever you remember. But if you have a very strong imagination, you can also use your imagination. For loving kindness meditation, you can use your imagination in your favor. So you can use, like for example, we did that. That's the way I started this period. It's unusual to do that thing where I did at the beginning, where you started off with a memory of feeling happy. I just thought many of you had probably a busy day, a hectic day, and I thought it'd be helpful to kind of get you to arrive and be here and settle a little bit, to use a memory as kind of a way in. But you could just do that a lot, you know, and make use your imagination to help you to do loving kindness, rather than having your imagination trip you out. That makes sense.
Yeah. When we make up our own, what are these
called? I don't know. I call them just phrases.
Okay.
Sylvia calls them resolves.
Oh, that's the word. Okay. These phrases, are there any rules like keep it Joe, or could I ask something like, may I get that job
Well, here's where intention is important. I think that you should really see what your intention is, and maybe you should look if you want if it's a job you want. The job itself is just kind of like a neutral thing. What is it that gets nourished in you by having that job? And then when you recognize what it is, then say, may this happen to me. May I have this nourishment.
Well, if I say, may I be happy, that covers everything.
Yeah, so
I
you...
get everything I want.
Well, so maybe it's useful for you to be more specific, if that helps you get into it. But to say a job is kind of like a strange thing. But if a job would allow you to feel safe, feel a little bit security, then rather than saying, may I have the job, you can say, may I feel secure. So last comment, yeah.
I had a similar experience to you with the tiredness. I was sitting here falling asleep, and it occurred to me too that I could send loving kindness to my tiredness.
Yes.
And then it occurred to me, if I opened my eyes a little bit, I might be able to stay with you.
Uh-huh.
And that worked really well.
Great. Yeah, so you can try keeping your eyes open. So it's really great because you can actually offer love and kindness to anything that's difficult or anything that's good. You can always love it. You know, just like, isn't it a great practice? So there's no problems anymore. You send love and kindness to it. Okay. So thank you all.